Get ready to dive into the whirlwind world of America's sweetheart, Taylor Swift. Join us on the podcast, Taylor Swift Today, for your dose of all things Tay-Tay. From all the scoop on her highly anticipated album, The Tortured Poets Department, to the latest gossip, tours, and more, it's time to shake off the haters and embrace the enchanting universe of Taylor Swift. Follow Taylor Swift Today, your ultimate Swift-obsessed podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
From The Guardian, the headline, "Ay caramba, I watched 50 hours of New Simpsons so you don't have to." Subheadline, "After years of decline, it's only by watching newer episodes that you can appreciate the paradox of multiple Barts, the tragedy of Marge, and how the show echoes life in lockdown." Sounds interesting, right? This is by Jack Bernhardt, and he said, when he means New Simpsons, he says, "I say new, but I'm really talking about everything after season 15 when I finally gave up on the show. In general, The Simpsons can be split into four epochs." Epochs? I don't know. "The beginning, seasons 1 to 3, when the family looks like they have been drawn by the elderly Spanish woman who fixed the Jesus fresco." That is a great description. Those early episodes are so weird. "The golden age, seasons 4 to 8, where every episode is perfection. The Descent, season 9 to 14, when the show loses its way with shark-jumping plot lines, like Principal Skinner is actually a fraud who stole an army colleague's identity." I remember that one. "And finally, the darkest era, The New Simpsons, which is season 15 onwards," and the writer says, "where most fans reach the limit of mediocrity and turn back to the warm embrace of reruns since season 4. And he reminds us, keep in mind that season 15 was 17 years ago. So along the way, I lost my Simpsons stickiness because of Fox football. You know, I had a season pass for The Simpsons, and back in those days, it might have still been a TiVo DVR. I would record The Simpsons, and I'd go to watch The Simpsons, and it would be, you know, 17 minutes of Joe Buck postgame and then 10 minutes of The Simpsons. And I kind of broke the habit, but I don't know. I just wind up not watching The Simpsons. I know they're all on Disney Plus. I just broke the habit. I like it. I always watch Treehouse of Horror. I don't know. I've broken the habit. So I don't know how many of these I've seen. We'll see as I do the article. "When the 32nd season started airing, there had been 371 new episodes since the beginning of season 15. That is crazy. So this guy said he started on Monday morning with season 15 and The Simpsons trip to London, where special guest star Tony Blair," remember him? The Brits now are like, "Of course I remember Tony Blair, you stupid Yank," "attempted to distract everyone from the war in Iraq." Remember the war in Iraq? The Brits are like, "Yeah, of course I remember the war in Iraq." I don't know why I'm picking on you guys. "By turning up in a jetpack and delivering a half joke about the White Cliffs of Dover. The show is immediately weird in a way I can't put my finger on. It's like watching home movies, but someone has slightly switched around the furniture or replaced your family with clones." "Monday evening, I have been banned from watching The Simpsons in the main TV room anymore. Now I'm watching on my phone in the spare room." That's funny. "Tuesday, in season 17, I start to recognize some of the plots from classic Simpsons. Homer's mother returns and is immediately chased away again by Mr. Burns. Selma wants a family after a thoughtless act by her husband. Marge is tempted to have an affair with another man, etc. The recurring storylines give the show a nightmarish quality. The family seem totally oblivious to the fact they are repeating these storylines, and these setups have happened before and will happen again." The writer says, "I can feel myself becoming bitter and grumpier. I'm aware that it is pretty pathetic to begrudge the writers for using some old concepts after 350 episodes. But then, to quote Principal Skinner, I'm a small man in some ways, a small, petty man." This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing? Now, a week ago, I was feeling great. I was feeling kind of refreshed. This week, kind of worn down a little bit. I had to go see a bunch of people, been running around. You know, sometimes you just want to sit in the chair and watch some television, right? It could be easy to ignore your social battery. You spread yourself too thin. I kind of did that last week, but like, it was good for me. You know, I want to see my friends, but I'm human. So I both want to see my friends, but I also just want to sit in the chair and watch some TV. You know what I'm saying? What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Do you thrive around people, or maybe you need some alone time? For me this week, it's alone time. Well, therapy can help give you the self-awareness to build a social life that does not drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's online. The design, awesome. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, suited to your schedule. What you do is you fill out a brief questionnaire. They'll match you with a licensed therapist. And, you know, if for some reason you and the therapist are like, you know, I'm not feeling it, you know, you can switch. No additional charge. You just switch. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DCN today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DCN. Visit BetterHelp.com/DCN today. Get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DCN. DCN, Churchill's Batteries. Continuing with the Guardians look at the late Simpsons episodes. Wednesday morning, okay, how old is Bart? He's supposed to be 10, but I just watched an episode where he gets a driving license. Yeah, that's a rehash of season 7's Bart on the Road. And he drives to Utah in an attempt to marry his pregnant 15-year-old girlfriend. What? That's a thing? Bart had a pregnant girlfriend? Except, of course, Bart isn't really 10. He's a 10-year-old who's been 10 for 18 years, so he's really 28, and driving to Utah and marrying a pregnant 15-year-old at 28 is probably just as disgusting, but for a very different reason. So when was Bart born? In season 1, he would have been born in 1979, so he's a Gen Xer, but as the show goes on, the year moves later and later, and by season 10, he's technically born in 1989. By season 18, he would have been born in 1997, making Bart part of Generation Z. A 10-year-old in 1990 will be fundamentally different to a 10-year-old in 2008 or 2020. So the question is, which is the real Bart? Can these multiple Barts really all exist at the same time? How can one person live multiple childhoods in multiple eras and not be driven mad? Who are you, Bart? Wednesday evening, the writer has been banished to the kitchen to watch the rest of the episodes. Thursday, New Simpsons is still The Simpsons, and that means occasionally out of nowhere, the show can be exhilaratingly good. I watch Eternal Moonshine of the Simpson Mind from season 19. It's almost like Return to the Golden Age, a high concept premise in which Homer has to piece together what happened over the last 24 hours when he wakes up with no memory and his family gone, with a good mix of genuine worth and very silly gags. It's like watching a 40-year-old champion tennis player, well past their prime, suddenly turn on the old magic. Maybe the show is still good. Friday. I watched the episode where the show tries to answer the accusations of racist stereotyping of Apu by literally having Lisa turn to the camera and say, "What can you do?" Saturday morning, during a completely fine season 24 episode where Marge wants to have another baby, I suddenly feel an overwhelming sense of horror at her plight. She's constantly trying to improve Homer, to make Bart grow up, to connect with Lisa, but she's always rebuffed. Homer's too stubborn, Bart too mischievous, Lisa too intelligent. Any moment she's able to get through to them is fleeting. When the credits roll and the Gracie woman shushes the other people to cinema, you know that the next week, everyone will have reset to their old roles, and Marge will be left alone, isolated, and unhappy, tearing her heart out about Bart's pranks as if she hasn't been spending the last 24 years of her life doing the same thing. I spend the rest of the day imagining what her life would have been if she had run off with the manatee guy from season 17. I think she would have been happy. Saturday afternoon, just found out from a season 24 episode that Carl is actually Icelandic. Sure, fine, whatever. Sunday, the writer and philosopher Tom Wyman, who has written extensively on The Simpsons, made the point that the show doesn't exist in a specific time because none of the children age. Time cannot truly pass. So they're all trapped in an ambiguous and general present. This works fine for the first 10 seasons, but as the show goes deeper into the violence and discord of the 21st century, it struggles to remain relevant. The Simpsons froze time for so long that it shattered entirely, leaving its characters stranded, unable to authentically relate to its audience, so instead they cling desperately to an old world that no longer exists, just repeating the same things they've always done, having the same wacky adventures because they all know how to do. This guy snapped, hasn't he? This is great. I love this article. He writes, "I realize as I reach the summit of season 30, with more than 50 episodes of New Simpsons under my belt, the show is a truer reflection of our world under lockdown right now than it's ever been. I am New Simpsons. You are New Simpsons. We are all New Simpsons. Trapped in the same routine every day, having the same furious arguments we've had for years, still harboring the same Marge-like hope for a moment of progress, and feeling that same sense of cynical disappointment when it doesn't come to pass." That's your comedy news for today.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.